Let's go over at the last of the book, of chapter 14, and we're going to teach. We're going to teach this morning on the subject of bitter waters in our path. Bitter waters in our path, and hopefully it'll be a help and encouragement to you. But I'm going to start reading in 14th chapter of Book of Exodus, the 29th verse. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land. Now, I think you'll all understand that this is when they come across the Red Sea, and they're coming out of Egypt. God is using Moses to lead them across the Red Sea out of Egypt. And he says, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. I want you to kind of remember that verse of Scripture especially, because he's telling us that Israel saw what God did to the Egyptians. He saw it. They recognized it, and they recognized that it was the Lord that did this. And then they said that the people feared the Lord, and they believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now in verse number 1 of chapter 15 it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. You see, they recognize, and in fact, if you continue to read that, that's a song was given, and Moses gave them that song, and they was talking about how God triumphs and what he did and how great he was. Now, in verse 21 of chapter 15, it says, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now I want to read kind of the text that we're going to use, starting at verse number 22. And it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Father, we can be helped by this scripture, by the principles and truths of your word. And Lord, we just thank you so much for who you are. You're the great, the true, the wonderful, all-powerful God. And we thank you for that. Help us now as we teach this lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the messages, as you see this portion of Scripture, you see Israel coming to a place called Marah, which means bitterness. When you see this, one of the main messages, I think, that God is trying to teach us, and I'm sure there's many here, but that God can take the bitter things of life and put some sweetness in it and make it okay. I've witnessed that down through the years in my own life, and as a pastor, I've seen some very hard and difficult things that's come upon people. And yet, at the same time, when all is said and done, when it's all through, I've seen God be able to so bless and encourage and help the people in whom it was happening. So what I want to do this morning is I want to just talk to you. There's bitter waters in all of our paths, no matter who we are. And we find here, these are bitter experiences. I think back to Samson, as he went along the way and he found this carcass, this lion's carcass. I take for granted probably it had rotted and the bones was left there and the bees had made a honeycomb in there. And he took out of that carcass some honey. And I think that there was death, there was destruction, and yet out of it came sweetness. And I believe if we'll just look for it, if we'll just wait for it and trust God for it, I believe in most of the, and I shouldn't say just most, but the experiences of life, the bitter experiences of life, and let me say again, if you haven't had them, you will. And I'm sure probably everybody out here is going to shake their head, because you know what? Most of us have had some bitter experiences. Most of us have. Some maybe more than others. That's probably true. But what I'm saying is, God is able in all of these things to bring sweetness out of it. Whether we think so while we're going through it or not, He is able to do that. But the children of Israel, one of the things I want you to notice that I think is important for us to, if you'll take notice to it, this was not some haphazard journey that they was taking. They came from the Red Sea, blessed of God, seen one of the greatest miracles that's recorded in the Bible. The Red Sea parted. They came across on dry land. 3 days later, they are crying and murmuring at God. 3 days later. It's amazing. But I thought to myself, isn't that what we human beings do? I mean, that's just what we do. I don't know what's the matter with us, but it seems like we do. Here we see something great of God. And of course, that, to me, that coming across the Red Sea is a great picture of our salvation. You know, the blood was put on the doorpost, and they escaped and come across the Red Sea, and God had so delivered them, and my, what a wonderful thing it was. And 3 days later, we find them down there coming to some bitter waters, and they're murmuring. But let me say something. It was put in their path. This was not an accident. It was within the course of life. That's what I'm saying to you. Sometimes we get into bitter problems because we cause them. We do. We got out of whack with God. We get out of the will of God. But what he's talking about here is, this was just normal life. They did not choose this. God chose it for them. It was a bitter waters that came to them right in the path that God had directed them to go. And that's the thing we need to remember, folks. There's a lot of times in life, we're walking in life, and you know what? All at once there's some bitterness or problems and trials come into our life, and we don't understand all of this, but it's there. It's designed to help us. It's designed, as we will see in a few moments, to prove us. Because God does prove us. Amen? He proves our faith. You see, God led them there. God had a purpose for this. And I don't know, again, I can't always speak for everybody, but I've found in life there's bitter times and there's sweet times. I've found in life when there's valleys and when there's mountaintops. You ever been there? Well, I've been on top of the mountain and 3 days later been in the valley. Amen? I know I find that there's sorrow times and there's joy times. I've found that there's times of almost seeming like it's cursing and then seeming for sure like it's blessings. I've seen where there's adversity and then prosperity. Years ago, I probably will never forget this, but I went into a hospital room years ago and sat with a family of a dying lady, which I've done many, many times with people who were passing away. And I sat there, and the lady was a Christian. She went on to be with the Lord, and we sat for quite some time and talked and dealt with them, prayed, and just, you know, just tried to be a comfort and encouragement. when we got done, they went their way, and I went mine and went in the other part of the hospital and knocked on the door in the maternity ward, and they said, come in, and went in, and there was a mama holding a beautiful little new baby, and the father sitting beside the bed with a smile like he would never seen before. I went from a time of sorrow in a room where we lost someone, and went to a time of life, new life with joy. You go to the flower shop and you can buy the same. You can buy flowers that'll either be sent to a funeral home or maybe a bouquet of flowers to someone who's celebrating some wonderful joy. You know, what I'm saying is life, to some degree, is like that. Amen? And I think we need to understand. I think we do. We need to understand those bitter things that are put in our paths are not bad for us, although they don't seem joyous at the time, but they're not bad for us. God has plans for them, just as he did here for Israel. You see, he took him to this place called Marah, a place of bitterness. Water was bitter. So there's times when I've went to bed at night with a joy and happiness in my heart and soul. Next day I wake up and the mail comes and there's bad news. Maybe the telephone rings. Maybe somebody comes by. You understand what I'm saying? Life is up and down when it comes to things like that, you see. But here we find Israel 3 days later, after they saw one of the greatest miracles that had ever been upon the face of the earth, and now they're murmuring at God. Boy, aren't we something. Amen? I don't know about you, but I can sure look back on a lot of joy. I can sure look back on the times when God has blessed me and helped me, and yet something bad comes our way and we're looking up at God and wondering why this is happening. Amen? Well, that's just we human beings, you see. But anyway, and notice something. We're going to look at the fact, and we'll show you here in the scripture in a moment. We're going to look at the fact that God proves our steps of faith. God always proves and tests our steps of faith. And so that's what I think he's doing here with Israel. You can't escape the bitter experiences. The Bible says the heart, and I will say every heart, the heart knoweth his own bitterness. The heart knoweth his own bitterness. Folks, we make a mistake sometimes because we think sometimes because this has happened to us, well, no one else understands or no one really knows. Well, listen, what happened to you may be different than what happened to me, but we've all had our own bitternesses, every single one of us. And we're going to have them. Because the heart knows its own bitterness. Amen? You know, all things work together for good to them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. But listen to me, folks. Listen to me. They're all different experiences. I don't know what experiences you've had. I can't, you know, but I know I've had mine, and I know you're going to have yours. And there's going to be some bitter waters put in our path that God puts there, or God allows to be there. Understand? And it's not for bad. It's to do something good for us. It's to prove us. After you came to Christ, I don't always know what to say when I'm talking about experiences. I only know what happened to me, but I know after I came to Christ, I was put to the test. That doesn't mean I wasn't saved, but God began to test me, test my faith. You know, I worked in the Vandekon Aluminum Company when I got saved, and I went over there and began to witness for Jesus. And I was a very backward person, a very inward person. It was very difficult for me to do, but I began to do it. I began to get cussed out. I've had people stick their finger in my nose and say, you're not even saved. You ain't done this. You haven't done that. You're not saved. Boy, you talk about testing and proving. I had to get to my pastor first of all, and he sent me to the Bible. They said, you get in your Bible, read your Bible, you'll find out what's right. And he'd show me, and I said, yeah, you're right. But there's a testing, there's a proving. When people come to an altar and make decisions, believe me, folks, I'm talking about decisions for life, down the road, life. They will be tested. It's not bad, that's good, but they will be tested. You come up, I've seen young people come up and say, I'm going to serve God for the rest of my life. Believe me, they're going to be tested. They're going to be tested, I'm telling you. Okay? You see, because God proves His servants. I'm not going to take all the time that I could take on this, because I could tell you experiences in my life how God tested me about my call to preach. He put me through some things that I'm not going to spend the time. But I'm going to tell you what He tested me. And I think He does every one of His servants. He proves them. Okay? You make a decision, He's going to prove you. He's going to see if you mean business. Amen? And then sometimes it's with bitter waters. Okay? Sometimes it's with bitter waters. And he proves us. Look at verse number 25. He says, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Now, I want you to get hold of that. He had brought them to Marah. And now we're going to look in a minute. He took them somewhere else, somewhere wonderful. But he brought them to Marah, and he said, there he proved them. Okay? So when all of this comes, these bitter waters come, folks, a lot of it is that God is proving. He's just proving you. He's testing your faith. Are you going to stand for the Lord? You're going to be faithful no matter what happens? If you look through the life of Abraham, and I think that I have enjoyed the life of Abraham for myself, to study the life of Abraham is a tremendous thing. Because you watch him and you'll see his growth in the Lord. Yes, you see him going to Egypt when he should not have went to Egypt. And all of that was problems that he brought some problems back with him. He brought Hagar back with him, and he brought a nephew that never got over Egypt in Lot. But if you watch him, he came back and he built an altar. He came back to where he was supposed to be, and he built an altar unto the Lord. Lot never did build an altar. No. But Abraham did. But then you'll see that you never saw the testing in Lot's life that you saw in Abraham's life. God took him up on Mount Moriah and told him to kill his son. Talk about a test. Proof. Proving you. That's tough. Well, Lot had already failed the test. Lot had already went to Sodom. Lot had already set in its gates. Okay? I didn't say Lot wasn't saved. The Bible says he was. The Bible says he's a righteous Lot, and he vexed his righteous soul from day to day and all of that. But God took the one who was growing and tested him even more. Now, I want you to know that. You see, sometimes we see people going through tests. I mean, deep, serious tests. Maybe because their growth in Christ has come to the place where God wants to test them more. And sometimes he does that with bitter waters. Okay? And he puts it in our path. So I guess I'm trying to say, don't be discouraged. Please don't be discouraged. When these bitter waters come, you know, you didn't put them there. Okay? God allowed them to be there. But oh, how he can grow your faith, and he can prove you through these bitter waters. Tough? Yes, it is. But I've found in life the only way I've ever grown in the Lord is facing difficult and tough times. You don't usually grow too much when everything's easy. Okay? Okay? You don't get your muscles very strong without exercising them. Same way with the spiritual muscles of your life. You've got to exercise them. Okay, so the bitter waters are there. But I think the real thing that God is looking for, as He proves us, the real thing God is looking for, how do we react to them? You look at Job, and I'm sure you probably feel the same way. I can't imagine what Job went through. I cannot. I mean, I'm telling you, to have 10 caskets sitting there, losing of 10 children, losing all of his livelihood, and then losing his health. Now, I can't. I mean, you put that in life. You think about it. You being there, you going through that. I can't. I really, honestly, can't even imagine it. But look how Job reacted to that. Job said he wasn't going to blame God. Charge God foolishly. You see, he reacted. He did it right. You see, God is interested. How do we react to these bitter waters? How do we handle them? Amen. And I think he's proven us there on that. Amen. That's what he's interested in. It's not so much. Because you know what? We think sometimes God don't want us to go through these things. Yes, he does. He wants us to go. He's not too much interested in all of our discomforts. He's interested in how do we handle them? How does our faith grow? Okay? And so I think that's, you know, what he was looking here at Israel 3 days later after the greatest miracle, one of the greatest miracles, and all at once they're here and they're murmuring toward God, you see. And he's testing. He's proving them. So what is it we should avoid? One of the things in verse number 24 is the people murmured against Moses saying, "What shall we drink?" Now once again, the one thing we need to do is avoid murmuring. I think it was Spurgeon who said, he used to use the word, he'd say murmur. He said that's a child's word. A child says murmur. Spurgeon used to say that, you know, and I think that's true. That's a child's word. Well, it shows our childishness when we murmur. And let me say to you, I have a feeling all of us have been childish. Because we've all murmured. Amen. But it's something we ought to avoid. Because, you know, we really, when you get into it, we don't have any right to murmur. Joseph Parker, in his autobiography, He said this. He tells about the time when his wife died. They'd been married 34 years. And his wife died. He got bitter at God. He got mad at God. And he really went through a hard time there, a difficult time. Here was a preacher who lost his wife 34 years, and he said he just was mad at God. Well, listen, folks. I don't know how a person feels when their wife dies. Mine's sitting right over here, 51 years. But I want to tell you something. That's not easy. I know some of you do know, wife or husband. I know this. But I don't know really how you feel. Not deep down how you feel. But what God is trying to tell us is, we just need to trust Him that He does know what is best. I don't understand it. I can't explain to you why God took your husband or your wife. I cannot explain that. But I can tell you God knows. And God loves you and God does care. But that's a difficult thing. That's something you have to carry. It's not an easy thing. You have to. I can't look at you and say, "Oh well, just trust God." You know, you have to carry that every day of your life. But I am saying to you, just trust God. Amen. Trust Him, love Him. He knows what is best. But that's something our brethren have to carry every day of their life. And it may not be the death of a husband or death of a wife, but it may be something else just as bad. Okay? But what God, I think, is trying to teach us is avoid the murmuring. Okay? Because Israel murmured at God. You've seen marvelous miracles, haven't you, down through the years? You've seen the salvation of your soul. Amen. You've seen God do wonderful things in life. You've seen it. I know you have. You've been saved very long. You have seen God do wonderful things, haven't you? So what he's saying to us is when something that doesn't go well, some bitter waters come along, remember what he's done in the past. Remember how good and how kind and how gracious he's been to you all of these years. All right? So he's trying to get us to avoid the murmuring. He's trying to get us to take our eyes off of our troubles and keep our eyes looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, you'll get in trouble, and I will too, if we get our eyes off of Jesus. We'll do just exactly what Peter did. I'm not going to blame Peter. Peter went out in that water. I'd have never got out of the water. Amen? So I'm not blaming Peter. But I'm saying to you this. When he got out there, he took his eyes off of Jesus. You know that. You've been taught that before. You understand that principle. He looked at the boisterous waves that was around him, the troubles, the problems, and he began to sink. That's the same principle when we get into these bitter waters. We've got to keep our eyes off of the bitter waters and onto Jesus. Okay? And it's necessary that you do that, because if you don't, you're going to have problems. You're going to begin to sink. So you've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Down through the scriptures, there's all kinds of men in the scriptures that shows us this illustration. Elijah ran from Jezebel. He got scared and he rolling around. He was tired. He was wore out. That's another story, because you look at Elijah. He was weary. We're going to preach about that this morning. But he was weary. He was tired. And all at once, Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you." Basically, that's what she said. "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take your life." And he took what? Sat under a tree and said, "Just kill me, God. I've had enough." Amen? Well, you know, there's examples all through the scriptures. Why is that? Because we're human beings. We're not perfect. But we've got to remember we have a perfect God. And he's the only strength of our life, you see. And we've got to remember that. You can look at all kinds of situations. Look at Jonah. Jonah wasn't too happy about them. Ninevites getting saved, so he wanted to run and get away from all these things, and he just finally said, "Throw me into the sea," not realizing that there was a big old fish down there waiting on him, a big old whale. But what I'm saying is, you know what, he came to the place, "I just throw me over, kill me." I'm saying you in the scriptures you can find all kinds of situations where they had all different kinds of problems, just like you and I have different kinds of problems. See, we have different bitter waters, okay? But we have the same one that can help us. And he's trying to get us to look to him, the author and finisher of our faith, and not at our troubles. Look to him. Amen? Brother Ross, is that always easy? I didn't say it was. But you've got to remind yourself constantly, it's not the problems that I'm going to look at, it's the answer to my problems. Jesus does love you. No, yes, he loves you. You say, "Brother Ross, yeah, he loves everybody else." No, he loves you. And he cares about your problems. I don't care what that problem is. I don't care how small it is. I don't care how big it is. God cares. Okay? And he has those bitter waters to prove us, to test us, to try us. Okay? So how are we going to stand up to it? What are we going to do? Well, let's trust him. So what must we do? Well, look at verse number 25. He says, "And he cried unto the Lord." Folks, listen, I know this is something, maybe like it's a cliche. Our pastor has led us in a wonderful way to have this as a year of prayer. And sometimes we just think, okay, we'll pray about it as a cliche. But folks, that is the answer. The answer here is, was he cried unto the Lord? Amen? That's what we've got to do. You look, James says, "Is there any among you afflicted?" What does he say? Let him pray. Let him pray. If you're afflicted, pray. Cry unto the Lord. We see Hannah. I think about Hannah so many times back here in the Old Testament. And she wanted a child so bad. She wanted a child. What did she do? She prayed. There's no other answer. Amen? So she prayed. This is what God is trying to teach us. Cry unto him. The Shuhamite woman said, "My son is dead. Elisha, my son is dead." And what did Elisha do? He went in and closed the door and he prayed. See, all kinds of problems. A child wanted, a dead son. All kinds of problems. But what do? We pray. We cry unto the Lord for help. Amen? He's it, folks. He's the one who can help us. Hezekiah, he received a letter from a wicked king and said, "I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to come destroy you and your nation." And what did Hezekiah do? He went in and he laid the letter out before the Lord and he prayed. See, all kinds of problems, all kinds of different things. Daniel, they said that there was a decree made, "Daniel, you can't worship your God anymore. You can't pray to your God anymore." And Daniel, what did he do? Well, he went to his house and prayed. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying, folks, listen, sometimes we miss the whole principle on this. We forget that that's not just a cliche. Bitter waters, pray. Cry to God. Amen. Cry out to him. Tell him what it is. Do you ever, you know, sometimes we're so, when we talk to the Lord, we don't really tell him what we want. We just, you know, begin to give generalities. Folks, get specific with him. "God, I want you to do this. I need this. I need help." Amen? And talk to him about it and get specific about it. Because there's some bitter waters out there for every single one of us. And they're going to be difficult. And we need him. Amen? We need him. You know, I was thinking about Daniel a lot of times. Daniel seen this decree and that was made, and they couldn't, you know, pray to any other god and all these kinds of things. And I think today what we'd be doing, we'd be going to the state house of Indianapolis and trying to form a committee and maybe go to the mayor's office and the council and all of these and say, "We need to change all of these things, you know." But, you know, Daniel just went and prayed. Amen? Just pray. I don't know if there's any way I can get this into your heart, but folks, listen to me. When you've got a problem, trouble come, bitter waters come, get on your knees or wherever you get and pray. Cry unto the Lord. Let him know, okay? Talk to him. You say, "Well, Brother Ross, he's not answering." Just keep talking. Keep praying. Don't stop. Okay? Don't quit. Amen? So then what happened here, you notice he showed him the answer. And in verse number 25 again, he said he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. So what did he say? Well, go get a tree, cut it down, and cast it into the waters. Say, "Brother Ross, what's he telling us? Go get Jesus. Get him involved in your problems and your bitter waters." He's representative here of the tree, the cross, that paid all of everything, the cost of our sin for us. He's it. He's the answer. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the answer. Amen. Get him involved. Talk to him about it. Amen. See, he's it. Amen. So throw in the tree. I want to show you one other thing here, though, that I'm very thankful and grateful for, that I kind of skipped over. But in verse number 27, he says, "And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." Have you ever, and I suppose you have, at the end of something that has what we would refer to as bitter waters, troubles and heartaches or trials or whatever it may be, you ever notice there's always an Elim at the end of it? A place where there is a refreshing. A place where there is waters. and palm trees to sit under. I've always said, you know, maybe I'm not going to rejoice over the bitter waters, but I sure am very thankful when God takes you through those bitter waters and makes them sweet and takes you to a place called Elim. I'm just saying, haven't you? Think about it. Think back in your life. Haven't you been through some difficult and troubles and heartaches? Maybe not as much as someone else, but you've been through them. You've been a Christian very long. You've been through them. Isn't it wonderful, though, when you come to that place of sweetness? When it's all over, it's all behind you, and at least that portion is. And God leads you to a place where there's sweet waters and a time of rest. You know, God will not put any more on you than you can stand. But you know that God is a loving God, and He's like the refiner. They used to say this was true. I don't know whether they do that now. I suppose they have more technology. But they used to say a silver refiner used to turn the heat up, and as the silver melted, the way he knew when it was perfect is he would look over it like this, and he could see the reflection of his face in the silver. Don't you know our precious Savior is looking and watching the refining process of our life? And when He can see His face as a reflection, He pulls the heat back. Yeah, He does. And sometimes it gets pretty hot. Anaconda Aluminum Company, we went to work there back in 1959 and went back to a place called Remelt. It's where they remelted all of the aluminum. They had big furnaces back there. Large furnaces. And they would put all this scrap metal in there and ingots and things and melt it down. But there always was dross, what they call dross impurities, that came to the top. Always. And we at that time would have to take long poles, metal poles with a hook, not a hook but a shield on the front of it, and pull the dross back into dross pans. And the purpose of that was to purify the metal. You get all the impurities out of the metal. And it would get to a certain degree, as I remember, it's been a long time, so I remember, I think aluminum melted, I think, around 1,200 degrees, as I remember, something like that. But they'd get it up there and then over, and then they'd pull the dross off. When God turns the heat up, He's just trying to get the dross off. That's what He's doing. And He knows when it's purified. He knows when you've had enough heat. Okay? It ain't always fun. But He knows. I want you to go with me over to, just for the next few minutes, over to Psalm 107. Psalms 107. I'm just going to read to you some scripture. But you listen. Verse number 8. He says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." Remember that. "Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he had broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Group of people who were bound down, was bound with sin, bound with iron. But they cried unto the Lord, and God removed it. In the midst of their troubles, God removed it. Listen also in that same psalm, in verse 23. It says, they that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds. See, it says he did it. Which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven and go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. You ever been there? You ever been at the end of your rope? Your wit's end? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. See what God's doing? Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. God calms the storm, calms the sea, and brings them to their desired haven, a place of rest. I guess what I'm just simply saying is, folks, I know life is bitter at times. Bitter times in life. I know that. You know it too. You've experienced it. But we have a God who loves us very much and has a purpose for those bitter waters that he leads you into. Just as a warning, don't step into them as the way that you've chosen. You've decided. But there's a lot of bitterness that just simply comes. Now, God will forgive. I want to say that God will forgive even that and will help you. But there's a lot of bitterness that just comes in life. But God has a purpose. God has a reason. And he just wants to help you in the midst of all of your trouble. Amen. Call unto him. Cry unto him. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for your love for us and kindness to us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.